Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the third Sunday of Easter comes from the Revelation to St. John. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It is in the heavenly throne room where John finds himself in the text for this morning. Standing right there before the throne, before the four living creatures, standing before myriads and myriads, thousands and thousands of angels, standing with the church triumphant who have ran their race and now found themselves in the mighty protection of their God. John finds himself there and he sings. He sings the song of heaven along with the whole host of heaven. Such is the song that we just sang, the hymn of praise, blessing and honor and glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. We get to sing the song of heaven with the saints there. It's the most glorious of all songs that has ever been written, that has ever been sung. We get a foretaste of that here within the church, singing with the saints and the angels in heaven, singing praises to the God of our salvation. But before that singing takes place, there's sadness, which sounds more than a little bit strange, because how in the world can there be sadness in heaven? But the sadness is reserved for only one man, for John. The angels, they aren't sad. Neither are the elders. Neither are the four living creatures. Neither is the church triumphant. For they all knew the story, which John was not quite yet privy to. But John, a fallen creature who had not yet passed through the portal of death to everlasting life, was at a loss, for he sees the one seated on the throne in the heavenly throne room, God himself, holding in his right hand of salvation a scroll that must be opened. Its contents are important. They must be loosed, they must be proclaimed, they must be. And therein lies the problem. Because no one is worthy to open that scroll, to break the seven seals that seal it shut. There isn't a single soul, not an angel, not a creature, not a man, no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth who is worthy to open up that scroll. But the scroll must be opened. That much is clear. And if it isn't, then all hope is lost. The future is not for certain. And all and any comfort that will never actually be had for any of the fallen creatures of this broken down and messed up world that we live in. That's why John weeps. He weeps and he wails loudly because without one worthy to open this scroll, the fate of the fallen sinner hangs in the balance. But no one's found. Not a single one. And that's when an elder walks up to John and says to him, "John, don't cry. Just dry your tears, for there is one who's worthy to open up that scroll." In fact, there's always been someone worthy to open up the scroll, but it's not just anyone. It has to be the one, the chosen one from the foundation of the world, the chosen one that the prophets all prophesied about, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He has conquered. He is worthy. That's when John, he looks up and he sees that Lamb standing in the midst of the whole company of heaven. And this Lamb standing as though it had been slain, head pierced with thorns that once made up a crown, hands and feet with nail-sized holy holes that one can still peer through front to back. Side still gaping with a spear-shaped gash from whence water and blood once flowed from. This Lamb, this worthy conquering lamb. He walks up to the one seated on the throne. And then he takes that scroll out of the right hand of salvation of God Almighty, and he holds it as his own. That scroll has his name on it, and no one else's. It's for him. But because it is for him, then that means that it is for you. Because the contents of that scroll hold the promise. It's the promised future of all the fleshly, fallen, fallible sheep. And is given to us. We're not worthy to handle it, but the Lamb most certainly is. And that's when that song of heaven bursts forth. In a hymn of praise that will never end, the whole company of heaven, and even you and I, just a couple of minutes ago, we get to sing with joyful voices of praise to the Lamb who has been slain, for he alone is worthy. He alone is able to take the scroll, to break its seals, to proclaim its contents, to declare to the fallen that they are fallen no more. And this Lamb is worthy for one very specific reason, because he has conquered. He's conquered the foes of the fallen and rendered what once was impossible to overcome, now overcome. The question, of course, is how did this Lamb conquer the unconquerable? The eternal Son is worthy to take the scroll from the Father's right hand, not because of his omniscience or his omnipotence, not because he is all-powerful or all-knowing. We would think that that would make him worthy enough. But what use is all of that when creation is still on a crash course to destruction with no hope of redemption? What use is all of that eternal stuff if death is still a specter and the grave is still shut? What use is all that God stuff if Satan is still left unfettered and can torment us forever? What use is all of that for you and for me and all of mankind if we're still bound to our sin? And so the Lamb, he is worthy to take the scroll and open the seals for one reason and one reason only, because he was slain. He overcame through death, but not just through death, but through a death that was a sacrifice. His life exchanged for the life of a sinner. His life ended so that yours might never be. His death was a sacrifice. His sacrificial altar, the cross. His blood, the demanded for price for the ransoming of the people of God from every single tribe and language and nation. Through his death, he made the slaves to sin, the grave, and the demons a kingdom of priests to the holy and righteous God. Christ Jesus has been slain. He is worthy. His blood has been shed. The stone has been rolled away. The tomb is empty. Now he is ascended into the heavenly throne room with the scars and the holes forever visible, declaring that it is finished means forever. There's nothing more that needs to be done. The evil that has waged all war on everything that was good has now been defeated. The sin that threw mankind and all of creation into chaos has now been covered and forgiven. The death that threatened to end the life that God declared to be very good is dead. And the serpent who sought to rip away and devour the people of God is crushed. The cross accomplished all of that. The resurrection vindicated the one who was crucified, declaring that his sacrifice was sufficient. And his ascension is the coronation of the eternal Lamb who has been slain, announcing once and for all that he is worthy to receive that scroll. Now, if you continue on with the next couple chapters of Revelation, you see that John is brought along as the Lamb breaks those seals, 1 through 7. John sees firsthand what happens, and some of it is quite disturbing. You're free to go ahead and read it on your own as well, but truth be told, you know what the breaking of those seals actually brings forth. Because from Christ's ascension to his coming on the last day, those seals are taken and broken by the Lamb. John sees the future displayed before him as if it were the present. You presently get to live what John saw as the future. But it's not just you. It's all who came before you and everyone who will come after. The world is a broken and fallen place with many things that threaten to bring heartache and suffering to those of us on this side of eternity. And so there's wars, and there's rumors of wars. And there always has been, and there always will be. And while we can sit here, and every single one of us can say there should be world peace, we know that there won't. Not until the new creation. And then there are famines and droughts that wreak havoc and bring destruction. And there are new diseases, and there are old ones. And then there are old ones that we thought were gone that have now become new again. And there's cancer, and there's heart attacks, and there's dementia, and there's autoimmune diseases. And some of these things we bring upon ourselves, and some of them seem to come out of nowhere. And there's persecution for political reasons and persecution for personal reasons. And more than that, what's promised for you, the church, there's persecution for religious reasons. And all of it's ugly. And all of it's sinful. And all of it brings suffering. And all of it makes us want to shout to the heavens, Lord, save us! Lord, come quickly! These are the things that are brought about with those broken seals. The Lamb, he unveils them. John bears witness to them. You and I and all of creation, we experience them. The things of the broken seals aren't fun. You know that. They bring hurt and heartache and suffering. We live in the now but not yet of that promised victory that is our life as we make our way through this valley of the shadow of death. And yet we still sing the hymn of praise. We sing that hymn of praise with the whole company of heaven. We still sing with joy to the Lamb who was slain, because by his death he has conquered all of these things for you. And while you still might have to deal with it, while they still might affect you, while they still might bring a tear to your eyes and a lump in your throat, they don't spell the end of you. They can't defeat you because they could not defeat Christ. He's the one who breaks all of these seals. He's the only one who's worthy to do so because of his death and his resurrection. And because he's worthy to break these seals, then he also has authority over them. It may look as if the things of this broken world are being left unchecked. But the Lamb who was slain still holds all of them in his hand. And the authority over them that he has is such that even in their evilness, the Lord works for his good and your good through them. Sin he uses to draw us back to forgiveness, that we might receive it from him and that we might declare it and proclaim it to our neighbors. Satan, he uses to drive us back to prayer and then back to his word, so that when the devil actually lays his accusations against us, we can hear the promise that all of his words are lies. We actually stand innocent before God for the sake of Christ. Death, he uses to end our sufferings, to usher us into the heavenly throne room, to sing praises to the Lamb, knowing that our bodies are receiving a much needed rest before he wakes us up once again in the glorious resurrection. Salvation belongs to the Lamb. That's what we get to sing, because he's worthy to break all of the seals, to open up that scroll. And it's within that scroll that we get to hear and we get to receive the promise that sin can't damn, Satan can't accuse, death can't kill any of those who have been ransomed by the Lamb who has been slain. And so even in the now, and before the not yet, when suffering comes our way, when disease makes us weak, when sin makes us feel sick, when family does us dirty, when friends abandon us, when consciences feel burdened, when accusations fly at us from the evil one, when death stares at us in a hospital room, when we can't seem to find our voice to speak at a funeral, when all of these things come our way, we can still sing the hymn of praise to the Lamb who has been slain. The victory is His. And because it is His, it is yours. That promise is as sure and certain as the empty grave. Christ is risen. Which means that the wounds that set you free from all of the sufferings of this world are forever embedded in the Lamb who stands in the throne room with that scroll of victory in His hands. Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, and so He can open the scroll. And so He did, and so He does. And so He ever will for you. In the name of Jesus.